We do not have kids' church, so you kids just stay right here. I wanted to say thanks to all the hard workers for Vacation Bible School. First, Jess Tredigo, would you stand? Where's Josh? I haven't seen Josh. Josh, would you stand? And everybody else that volunteered, some are in orange shirts, but everybody that worked in VBS this year, please stand. All the volunteers, teams, kids. Thank you. Thank you. They transformed this auditorium into a cave. They really worked hard. So thank you. Especially all of you, but I focus on Josh and Jess. You directed everything. Thanks. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalm, and Denise Shiner is going to come and read just a few verses from Psalm 78. Denise is somewhere. Oh, she snuck up on.
Yes, our reading today is from Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. He did say it was short. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them.
Thank you. Thank you, Denise. I want to share two quotes. We get into this subject on voting for leaders. First, a quote from the Declaration of Independence. I want you to listen to these. It's amazing how many Americans have never read any of this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And then a quote from the Constitution of the United States. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, secure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. We vote and elect leaders of our country to secure those rights and those liberties and to defend the Constitution. Pause. We vote and elect leaders of our country to secure those rights and to defend the Constitution. Therefore, voting for leaders becomes a very important matter with this in mind. That begs the question, how do we vote for leaders? Or, let's put it bluntly, what kind of leaders should we be voting for? Who should we vote for? And I mentioned a few moments ago that I cannot stand here and endorse any person from this podium. 1964, Lyndon Johnson and his administration certainly using the base of nonprofit organizations, but focusing primarily on churches, put an end to, I can't stand here and say, this is who I suggest that you vote for. But apart from that, how, who, what kind of qualities? What I want to do is share some biblical guidelines for assisting us in voting for all of our leaders. Certainly that would involve church leaders, but local civil leaders. And keep in mind that it's more than just the president that you will be voting for in November. But because we are in a presidential election year, I will be focusing on the presidency. What I want to do is look at King David in Psalm 78, specifically verse 72, because there I believe we discover foundational qualities that he as a man, he as a leader, demonstrated in being the governing leader in Israel. He demonstrates two foundational qualities of the kind of leader or president that we need. These qualities focus on, you ready? Character and skill. Character and skill. Let's take a few moments and look at those. First, we need to vote for a president who will shepherd all people with integrity of heart. Powerful words, right? Integrity of heart that will shepherd all the people. This is David. And we're using David as a model, as an example as to how should I vote for a president in the country in which I live. Two very basic qualities here. That he would shepherd the people with integrity of heart. Integrity involves honesty. King David had been a shepherd. If you know the story from the Old Testament, he knew how to care for, protect, and defend and take care of all the sheep. The shepherd's number one priority is the well-being of the sheep. Read Psalm 23 in detail. I've preached on that. And that taking care of the sheep must be done with integrity, honesty. In very simple terms, the leader must be a truth-loving and truth-living person. So we need to vote for a president who will shepherd with integrity. Now, what does that really mean? Here we are in 2016. We're not so much worried about sheep, but if you could look at the parallel as sheep being people, then it becomes a top priority. What does it mean? How is this fleshed out, this matter of integrity, shepherding with an integrity of heart? Let's flesh it out a little bit. First is the word shepherd, which clearly reveals that a governing leader must give top priority to the care of all of those in his constituency. Now, before you say amen, hear me out. He must be a statesman and a leader before he is a politician. That's easier said than done. So like caring for sheep, the caring shepherd must, as a president or commander-in-chief, protect the people of the United States. Let me picture David as a shepherd. David had to certainly consider the security and the defense of the sheep. And now he becomes president. That has to be there, part of his life as a leader. And he cared for the sheep. And if you know the story, he would fight a bear. He would fight a lion. Later, he would fight Goliath and see that they were defeated. So we need a president that will shepherd and care for all the sheep. And that will involve security. That would involve defense. That maybe, hopefully not, might involve war. It will involve justice. It will clearly involve doing everything he can to create a culture of life and not a culture of death. To care for as a shepherd would care for the sheep, cares for all the sheep in the constituency. He must protect the unborn and be against abortion. without quoting one biblical verse, the Declaration of Independence demands, and I say that as emphatic as I can, demands that everyone has the self-evident and inalienable right to life. Life. The right to life of the unborn takes priority over the right to choose of the mother. That's from the Declaration of Independence. I haven't even quoted one biblical verse. I tell you, you give the unborn a vote and they're going to choose life every time. Give the right of the unborn female baby girl, she'll choose life every time. Certainly will the boy. So we need to vote for a leader, for a president that creates a culture of life and not death. The Constitution demands and secures that right to life. Certainly, if I would have been involved in the presidential debates, I would be an advocate of a litmus test for all Supreme Court justices. The right to life. Without even talking about being a Christian. Without even quoting Bible verses. Just declare the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Taking the life of an unborn or an innocent person, taking the life is not a constitutional right. The second word here, and this is not the second quality, but the word that we need to focus on is the word integrity, which reveals the real character of the leader. Is he honest? Can he? I'm chuckling as I say these words because I knew that I would be standing here and saying this morning and using the pronoun he. You get it? Can he be trusted as a man, or dare I say, woman, spouse, husband, father, wife, mother, neighbor, leader, and as the president to be a person of integrity? If you have listened to the recent presidential debates, you know, and the presidential propaganda, you know that this is an area where each candidate is tried to undermine the other. Honestly, as straightforward as I can ask this, who wants a president who is a liar? Not me. I haven't mentioned any names, have I? So it doesn't matter whether it's the cobra or the rattlesnake. I don't want somebody that's a liar. Amen. Adultery, just to use one simple little situation, it's a violation of the most basic trust that two people can have, a husband and a wife. To commit adultery is a violation of that. Certainly there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and as Christians we understand that. But who wants a man or a woman that their spouse cannot trust them around another man or a woman? Probably. And here I am at 71 years of age and have had opportunities to vote in numerous presidential elections in my life, to now come to face this in our culture. And it's so sad that there are people who absolutely do not care about character or integrity in the president. It's all about happiness. It's all about appeasing some physical sense. It's all about don't take away my Monday night football and my six-pack of beer, you know. Or don't touch my union, because I might lose a quarter an hour pay. Forget character. Forget integrity. Forget honesty. And it is mind-boggling for me to see people so taken in by, it's all about me and what can I get out of this for my happiness. David, King David, knew what it was like to go to war. We know he fought a bear, he fought a lion, he fought Goliath. We know those stories. But he also was involved in war. Let me tell you again very clearly and very pointedly, right now in the United States of America, we are currently involved in two major wars. There is the war against terrorism. And I consider this our number one enemy today in terms of terrorism is radical Islam. And if you have your head in the sand and don't believe that, please take me to lunch and we will talk. There is an ideology, a theocratic ideology, totalitarian ideology, that if they had the power, they would come in and control everything about you. Everything. And then, men, take your wife and daughter and use her as a sex slave. I am not making that up. So there is a war against terrorism. Let's call it like it is. I want a president that's willing to go to war. Because we have an enemy worse than all the Hitlers and the Stalins put together. The second is the cultural wars, where we have two worldviews clashing. One promotes the absolutes of truth and life, and the other promotes relativism and death. I challenge you to listen to the candidates. We must vote for a president who is not a puppet to political correctness, not a puppet to the polls, but one that will have a serious commitment to integrity and honesty and character. And I challenge you to vote for that person. Second, a president with skillful hands. David led with skillful hands. He knew how to lead. King David knew how to lead because he had led sheep. He had led men in battle. Now he was going to lead his country. He had the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual skills to get the job done of governing and leading. King David had it together. I wish we had a King David, not a king. I'm not in favor of kings. But I wish we had a David today. Israel was God's people, without a doubt. It was a theocracy. We must never, ever equate the United States as being God's people. And that's extremely important to understand, because God's people today is the church. It's not one nation. Now, I know God's going to do his thing with Israel and fulfill all the prophecies about it. That's one thing. But God's chosen people today on this planet Earth is the church. And so there is a danger where some extreme right-wing conservatives get off track and they would love to make us some type of theocracy. And we want to become a Christian nation. Hear me carefully. We have never been a Christian nation. Yes, there have been Christian values, been Christian principles, and fine and wonderful. But I ask you, and you say, I think we need to become a Christian nation. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Oh, so tempting. But who do you want to lead? Do you want it to be a Mormon? Maybe a Jehovah's Witness. Maybe some Christian cult leader. Maybe a Baptist. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The minute you say Christian, there's 37,000 different flavors of Christian. Do you want the bishop of some Russian Orthodox church to be the Christian leader of America? Do you want the Pope to lead America? When you say Christian leader, then it is so tempting to say we need to get back to the Ten Commandments. Don't go there. Don't go there. You tell me how you would enforce thou shalt not commit adultery in the United States. I'll go to my catch-all phrase. Our next governing board meeting, if we do that, we're going to put in the budget a truckload of stones. We're all going to get stoned. And not in Colorado. You understand. The minute you say, okay, it would be wonderful to live under the Ten Commandments, somebody's got to enforce it. And how's it going to be enforced? I'll tell you, the only law that I want enforced in terms of Christianity is Jesus' law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what I want to see enforced. All the other laws will fall into place. So we need a president then who is skilled at leading. He has a vision. He has the goals and objectives to know where we're going as a country. And here's the guiding goals and objectives. Let me read them to you again from the Constitution of the United States. To form a more perfect union, to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, meaning us and our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. How do you vote for a leader? How do you vote for a president? I think King David's example is very clear. A president who will shepherd all the people with integrity of heart. A man, a person who will love truth and live truth. And a president that will lead with skillful hands. He will know how to lead. He will gather around him or her people that know what to do. November will be a very interesting time in the United States. I confess to you that I am still undecided. I absolutely know I can't vote for poisonous cobras. But I struggle with, do I also want a rattlesnake? Let's pray together, okay? Lord Jesus, we need the power of your Holy Spirit. We need you to direct us. Touch us now as we come and have this communion table together. Bless our time and our fellowship in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to have communion. If you'll just be patient for a